Welcome to the No Fungi, No Future podcast. In these episodes, we interview experts in the field to gain a deeper understanding of the magical and mysterious networks of mycelia that are all around us, to learn how they impact our lives and the planet. In this episode, we have the second part of our interview with Ellen Smith and Sarah Doherty, who are both PhD researchers at the University of Northumbria. They have just published a study on the effects of lion's mane on cognition in young adults. In this episode, we discuss why lion's mane has beneficial effects on cognitive function, as well as their plans for future scientific studies. Yeah. So if you were going to explain to a layperson, you know, not someone who's a PhD in nutrition, about why lion's mane has this positive effect, maybe it's, you know, a neuronal or gut-brain, or like, what is your understanding of the explanation of why the improvement happens?
So lion's mane contains various different bioactive compounds. So things that might underpin these kind of cognitive enhancing, mood and enhancing effects that we're starting to see here. So Sarah kind of mentioned one before about the enhancement of proBDNF. So we're in animal models, and then there's also some evidence within a human trial as well. So increases in this alongside memory and mood enhancements. But there are kind of a few different mechanisms of action that might underpin these results. Talking about the gut microbiota, so lion's mane contain a lot of polysaccharides, which essentially are like dietary fiber for the gut, and can exert like a type of prebiotic effect. So that being, it promotes an increase in beneficial bacteria within the gut. And that has the potential to improve cognitive function via the gut-brain access. And I think this is a really kind of, not necessarily up and coming, but definitely a popular area of research at the moment, in trying to have a bit more of an understanding about how what we eat can affect the composition of the gut microbiota and therefore improve cognition that way. It also has anti-inflammatory effects, so it has the ability to modulate the expression of several different inflammatory markers. But I think kind of what's really crucial is that this still is a relatively new area of research. So in order for us to really understand what these underpinning effects might be, we do need more trials, and we need more kind of ambitiously designed trials that look at cognitive performance, but they also look at things like blood biomarkers and gastrointestinal microbiota at the same time. And we can start to try and piece together the puzzle as to kind of why we might see these cognitive effects.
Right.
Are we also seeing that shift in bacteria? Are we also seeing changes in blood biomarkers at the same time? Because at the moment, a lot of those kind of mechanistic elements are done in vitro, so in a test tube, essentially. We don't know what that really looks like in humans. Once you've actually consumed the mushroom, are you still going to see those exact same effects? And so I think there's a lot of potential as to why we might be seeing cognitive enhancing effects, but it's the additional research that we really need at this point to kind of give us that concrete answer.
Yeah. And as far as you know, is lion's mane the only mushroom that has this effect, or are there any others? And if so, you know, what's specific about, I guess lion's mane just has that combination that affects the brain.
Yeah, so I've kind of had a little bit of a look at what's currently going on in terms of the research area. So there is a new review trial, systematic review has come out just this year. And it looks at epidemiological studies so far, but also intervention studies. And that kind of gives us a better overview of where the research field's at. So they looked at just dietary mushroom intake, regardless of the species, on cognitive performance and mood. And the evidence from that suggested that from the epidemiological studies, so kind of just like observation trials, that there were improvements in cognitive function and mood, but those results from intervention trials were much more mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And they did note that most of these trials were in lion's mane. So I think where the field is at the moment is that lion's mane is the main interest, especially when looking at cognitive function. But I don't necessarily mean that, think that means that it's the only mushroom. But you see all of these bioactive compounds and all those potential mechanisms of action that I've just spoken about with lion's mane.
Yeah.
And that might just be why that the focus is there. But I think it's also quite important to remember how new the research area is. These human trials have only started in the last kind of 10, 20 years, maybe not a huge mm-hmm. amount of time. And I think as time goes on, and there's more of a shift towards considering the impact of mushrooms, we'll start to see more trials looking at different mushroom species or indeed blends of mushrooms.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's going to be a big increase in kind of looking at cognition with different species of mushroom, especially though, like Eastern Asian mushrooms in particular. And I think it's becoming, it's getting a lot of media attention, different mushrooms. And I think when certain foods get picked up by certain media platforms, it pushes the area on. And I think it's a very worthwhile area to continue. And I think we're going to keep seeing more and more cognitive trials with different mushrooms. And I think there is the potential to mimic the effects that were found in lion's mane.
Yeah.
Based on the bioactive properties of different mushrooms.
Right.
I just think the area is still kind of in its infancy. And I think we're just going to keep seeing it grow and grow over the next few years. And I think we will see a lot of replication of similar results of what we've seen already.
Yeah, I think because it's such a sustainable ingredient, there's kind of a real shift now to consider the sustainability impact of like our lives and of the supplement industry and things like that. And this mushrooms offer kind of the perfect ingredient here where they're sustainable, but they've also got these bioactive compounds that might mm-hmm. improve cognitive performance. And I think that is just kind of adding fuel to the fire that it will just continue to be looked at and studied more, especially with the other species as well.
Got it. So as a result of this study and, you know, what you've been talking about in terms of potential areas for future study, do you have plans for future studies at a high level that you can talk about, or?
The direct next study, and then I'll think of the bigger picture.
So one of the findings from our pilot trial was a trend. So it wasn't quite statistically significant, but it nearly was. Towards reduced subjective stress. So participants felt less stressed after taking the lion's mane mushroom mm-hmm. after 4 weeks. And that was quite interesting to us. And it's kind of really the result that we're going to go forward and look at the moment. So we're kind of taking more of a well-being approach for this next trial rather than looking specifically at cognition.
Yeah,
and we wanted to look at a slightly different participant demographic. So we're looking at Generation Z, so Gen Z women. So they are mm-hmm. born between 1997 and 2013. And this population have particularly high levels of diagnosed mental illness and report higher levels of stress than other generations.
Uh-huh.
So we're kind of really interested to see if we can use lion's mane here as essentially like a bit of a preventative option prior to psychological treatment or medicinal treatment. So the trial that we're looking at will assess various different measures of well-being and mood within this population after a 4-week supplementation period, but they'll also complete these questionnaires weekly, so we get a much kind of more detailed like response in terms of how the effect changes or increases across the chronic intervention period.
Yeah,
Yeah, so it's a much larger trial than what we did mm-hmm. previously. We have the lion's mane. We also have another product, which is a lion's mane blend and a placebo as well. So it's going to be a much longer trial, but hopefully in the next kind of year or so, we'll see some positive findings out of that one.
Yeah, I think that's the immediate next step for us. Yeah. I think we have kind of a long-term plan with this. I think with lion's mane, there's so much potential in so many different areas. So it's kind of like a whole life cycle approach. So looking at older adults, looking at, I hate the term, middle age, before people who are really experiencing the cognitive decline that comes with age and are starting to see some decline. So again, it's kind of a preventative measure. Hopefully we'll be able to do some bigger studies with biological markers. So because the area is so new, we need all of this evidence to start applying for larger funding to be able to afford to do all of these things. And I think eventually kind of looking at more clinical samples. So people who have got a diagnosis of say anxiety or depression or ADHD and seeing whether we can implement this as an alternative medicine, not to say it would ever replace pharmacological treatment, but kind of in those clinical samples alongside medication in terms of it's a food, it's natural. So it's something that you can safely take alongside prescribed medication. I think especially in the UK where we have such a kind of, we're in a kind of mental health crisis with the certain, with the younger generation, but also we have huge pressure on our healthcare system, which is majorly underfunded in certain aspects. So it's kind of the perfect storm of where we need alternative things going on. And I think there's maybe a lot within ADHD in terms of, there's not a lot of research at the moment, but from anecdotal evidence, I would say more than anything, I think there is a big potential there in terms of helping concentration and staying focused on tasks. So I think that's another avenue. I think we've got so many ideas of where we could go with this, that it could be kind of 10 years of work of different groups.
That's great. And as you're doing all these future studies, how can people keep up with you? Is there a way to follow, you know, are you on posting things anywhere or?
I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay.
We're both really bad at social media.
Yeah, they can follow so I'm Ellen_F_Smith on Twitter. So I share kind of progress of where we're at.
Okay.
My Twitter is Sarah_Doherty1. So that's my professional Twitter. And then would have the general.
Yeah, so the research centre that I work within, so the Brain Performance and Nutrition Research Centre. So we have social media pages, so Facebook
and Instagram. I'll put all those in the links on the podcast, so just so people can keep up with you.
I would say that's probably the best place actually, because we will share kind of when we're recruiting trials, when we have results and things like that, we'll pop them on there.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for the time today and these fascinating, you know, insights that you provided. It's great work that you're both doing, and look forward to keeping in touch and following your future studies.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. We hope you enjoyed this episode featuring our conversation with Ellen Smith and Sarah Doherty. Be sure to look out for our next episode coming out soon, where we will continue this conversation. Until then, be sure to get some healthy mushrooms into your diet. Also, please take a moment to like and subscribe to our channel and drop us any comments. Your feedback is most welcome. Thanks for listening.